When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, big interview listeners, beloved big interview listeners. Here's something new. There isn't such a thing as an exactly typical week for me, but what's pretty predictable is that I'll see and hear or do things that I can't or don't need to write in the papers or say on the radio. So instead of the big interview, this is the big inside view. See what we've done there? Clever, eh? You'll get regular updates from me, from Barcelona, from Spain, exclusive news on La Liga and beyond, my own analysis of what's happening in Spain or across Europe, a peek behind the curtain at what I've been doing that week. For example, the little details of meetings with football clubs, football players, training, interviews, things that don't make it to the final edit for various reasons. Plus a look under the rug at what I've been up to away from the world of football. Next month, we'll be launching a big interview members club. And we want the big inside view to be part of a larger offering to our subscribers, or socios as we call them in this part of the world. There'll be more information coming very soon on new shows, big name interesting guests, and how to subscribe. Meanwhile, listen to this pilot episode with me and producer Neil asking the questions. Enjoy.
Okay, Graham, so summer's here and the living is easy. For you, maybe not so much.
It is for you and me, because finally we've got a little bit of holidays, but not for example, all the players that we're going to be talking about on this, the big inside view, because they're all back at training largely, Neil. It was a surprise to me when I was talking to Sky Sports News this week that they hadn't been aware of Kylian Mbappe and Manchester City, because during the time that you and I have been working in this business, we've become used to the idea that, as opposed to when I began as a trainee football reporter, and it was frowned upon to look at sources across Europe, if your club didn't tell you it was happening as a journalist, then it wasn't happening. And now the news across Europe is pretty homogenous. If it's breaking news about a big player in one of the main European countries, and within about 6 hours, it's breaking news in the same form in every one of the countries around Europe, particularly in the transfer market. So to find out this week that Sky Sports News were slightly unaware of Manchester City's desire for Mbappe was a surprise to me, which is why I ended up talking on the channel about it. But he's back right now in La Turbie, above, you know, in the cliffs overlooking the Mediterranean and Monte Carlo, training flat out, as are. We're not going to focus on Real Madrid hugely today, but they're back being worked to their core by Pintus, the Italian fitness trainer, who I think accounted for a great deal of the last two seasons of success with Zidane when Madrid finished the season in prime shape, something that is the holy grail for all leading clubs. So Mbappe's back. He's going to have a friendly match against Stoke. The big thing is he continues to say, Neil, I don't know where I'm going to be playing next season. And he continues to say, I can't guarantee I'll be at Monaco. The lineup is like this. Real Madrid, who followed him and met him since he was 14, Manchester City, Paris Saint-Germain, and Monaco saying to him, you know, we'll give you gigantic wages to stay at least another year. Something that most senior pros might be saying, no matter how good you are at 18, take that extra year. I don't claim to know where he's going to find out, but I can tell you that City's information, when they're bartering, when they're hog trading with the people that represent Mbappe, City's people are being told that Madrid's offer is that if Mbappe will sign for them, then they'd be willing to lose one of the BBC, Benzema, Bale, Cristiano Ronaldo, and possibly allow Jose Mourinho to fulfil his wish to repatriate Gareth Bale to the Premier League. That's all speculative because it's part of their strategy. It's not affairs that are happening, not in business this instant. But part of Madrid's strategy to get Mbappe, to try and beat Manchester City, is saying we would even let one of the big three go if you will sign for us. That's how hot a property this young Frenchman is.
All right. Did you see the Bonucci to Milan transfer happening before the news broke this week?
No, and what's more, I think it's something of a shock in many different ways because the crux is that he's fallen out irrevocably with Maxi Allegri. Now, the two of them are architects of this recent success. There's no question that you can... what is the thing about success has few fathers and failure has many? It's rather different, I think, at Juventus. The planners, the buyers, those who recruited Allegri, the way in which they bought and sold since the previous Champions League final, which they lost in 2015 to Barcelona, the rebuilding of the team. But the steady factors, two of the key steady factors, have been Allegri and Bonucci. And in a match against Palermo last season, when Bonucci tried to act as a quasi-coach on the pitch, which some coaches allow, Diego Simeone allowed Griezmann in a Champions League match last season to openly, in mid-match, beg with him to change his idea of the substitutions. And Simeone is, I think, accurately portrayed as one tough hombre, one guy you wouldn't want to cross. But because of the situation, because of the player, he let that flow and was happy to talk about why. Whereas in Juve Palermo, when Bonucci wanted more from Marchisio and a different change from the manager, Allegri went on the front foot and swore at him, cursed him out badly. And it transpires that anybody who watched the Champions League final in Cardiff, Neil, and saw what subsequently you could define as truth when the players, Zidane's players, said, he said to us, close the gaps, be on the ball more, press them more tightly, give them less room, they're about to topple. If you up your energy rate and you keep the ball better and press them better when you don't have it, they'll topple and they'll collapse. And the scoring ratio and the way the two sides performed in the second half made that sound a bang-on interpretation from Zizou. What we didn't know is that there was outright warfare in the Juve dressing room, that Bonucci and Dani Alves were tucking into Dybala and saying, more effort, you're not giving us enough, you need to show for the ball more. Allegri stepped in to defend the young Argentinian. Barzagli backed the Argentinian and the coach. And it was between Barzagli and Bonucci, this extraordinary BBC of their own, Barzagli, Bonucci and Chiellini, which has been the founding stone of Juventus and Italy's power over the last 4 or 5 years. Barzagli and Bonucci are pretty much broken after that. I know that you have training ground rows, but this divided them in a way that they weren't coming back together and Allegri wasn't coming back together with Bonucci. Bonucci has to be, depending on personal preferences, in your list of the top 3-4 central defenders in the world. Some would say one. The surprise to me would be the surprise was that neither Chelsea, where Conte was obsessed with getting him, reuniting himself with him, or City, where the pairing of Bonucci and Stones, given the signings of Walker at one side and Ederson in goals, you're already looking at, and I think they'll get Mendy too from Monaco, you would have been looking at an almost entirely reshaped back five at City. You'd have been looking at the player who not only could bring the ball out and maintain possession and waltz past the first line of pressure in Bonucci for Pep Guardiola's preferences, but who could have been, either by osmosis or by direct hands-on, could have been the teacher for Stones in terms of positioning, when to release the ball, when not to, when to dribble, when to look super cool, when to find Rose Ed in possession of the ball in the penalty area. And therefore, the fact that that move didn't take place, Neil, was a surprise. And to go to Milan, not only because Milan are clearly eternal rivals to Juve, but they've been an ultra flaky club of late. They've only just been sold to Chinese owners. The Chinese owners took months and months and months and broke, I think, three deadlines in terms of buying the club out. There isn't a lot of clarity about the Chinese owners and where the wealth comes from. And therefore, although the signings are good, and although the signing team that the Chinese owners had standing by and what would you call it, doing shadow operations during the months that the purchase couldn't take place, they've Andrew Silva is an example, potentially convincing young keeper Donnarumma to stay. There are other signings. But Bonucci going there tells you that an elite world footballer is going to a club where he can't guarantee that they'll get it right over the next two, three seasons. They look on the right track. They're signing better. They should be a little bit less flaky. But he's going somewhere, and it's influenced, as you know, by his kid Matteo, who had lung problems and two big operations. Bonucci broke down in a press conference last autumn. I remember we talked about it, crying in public because it just overtook him, the fairly innocuous question about the well-being of his younger son. His older son, he's a Torino fan, an avowed Torino fan. So the family are kind of, you know, they've got a history of making firm, strange decisions. So Bonucci to Milan, and for the price, Neil, the price is weird. Of the whole thing, I think the price is probably the weirdest.
All right, so now we're looping back to Manchester City, which, you know, you mentioned them as one of the suitors for Mbappe. Are people seeing City coming and changing the price tag in the shop window? Yes, they're remodeling a defence, which is absolutely necessary, and Kyle Walker is a fantastic fullback, but is he that fantastic?
The first thing to say is that Dani Alves was first choice. I know without question that last week Dani Alves shook hands and gave his word to Pep Guardiola that he was joining. Did the same to Chucky Bagaristain, who is the more important guy in terms of the operation. The more important guy for Dani Alves was Pep Guardiola, who was going to be his coach, who didn't revitalise, but who changed, who galvanised Dani's career in 2008 and brought him to this position now where he's the Brazilian. I mean, let's just say that in big red letters. The Brazilian of all time with the most club trophies. I mean, kind of wow. And you know what kind of relationship I've got with Dani. I like him immensely. He's very friendly to me, but that my regard for him is not based upon his eccentricity, his dress sense, his sense of humour. It's because he's an extraordinary, gymnastic, technically able, inventive footballer whose pluses vastly outweighs Achilles' heel of being a little bit adventurous defensively. And therefore, that was the first deal. That was the done deal. And Walker was an opportunity because Pochettino has turned his frowny eye on Walker. There are things about Walker's attitude to life and attitude to maybe having a slightly rebellious view compared to what the trainer likes. The Argentinian is not a guy who's like on people all the time like Pep Guardiola, but there's a similarity given that things have to be done Pochettino's way, and if you break the waves too often, you're out. He's not a guy who'll look for compromise and consolidation. There'll be a little bit of rope. You know, it's not like one day, one mistake, that's you gone. There's a little bit of rope, but after that, if the rope gets too long as a player, you'll hang yourself with Pochettino. And that, it was known within the football industry that Walker was movable. The price was an issue. Dani Alves arriving or not arriving, and as of last week, they believed he was going to be arriving at City. So that's maybe a little snapshot of the mercurial nature of the transfer market. You have to be juggling two, three options for a position.
Close at home for you, Barcelona, what's happening at the Camp Nou?
Home territory, although I have to admit, what with going to New York and being in Aberdeen and London recently, I've spent less time in Catalonia than those places, although that hasn't meant that things have been quiet. They haven't. Nelson Semedo is probably the hot item because all summer it's been Verratti. We know that because in the midfield, they are short of an elite footballer who plays the Barca way. And that's why there's been confusion about now that Verratti is consigned as one of the most difficult deals Barcelona have tried to do since I don't know when. Ronaldinho may be even that difficult. Verratti's not done. We'll come to him in a second. It's not over is all I'm saying. Paulinho, that rangy, big, powerful, hard-running Brazilian who's in the Chinese League at the moment, who shone in the Confeds Cup prior to the Brazil World Cup, Sean there and looked right, was part of the Brazil side that demolished Spain, went to Spurs, didn't make his mark, and doesn't seem to be, and I would have to back this, I would not be against him as a footballer at any football club, because you've seen the things that he can do well. But if a football club like Barcelona are intent on signing Verratti, and you can say, look, he's the young Iniesta, or he's a mix of Iniesta and Xavi, and he's the right age, he's the right experience, his temperament is brilliant. And he is I think he's a supremely gifted footballer. And I think his mentality is absolutely, he could walk into the Madrid midfield even now, the Barca midfield right now. Any elite club, in my opinion, in Europe would want this guy in there. And if you don't get him, then you try to send Paulinho. Well, that's the kind of deal that leaves people scratching their heads about football directors and strategy and consistency. And it does me. But in the meantime, while that debate has been going on, they finally, I think, put a top on the leaking problem that was the right back since since Dani Alves left to go to Juventus a season ago. Nelson Semedo is a young Portuguese, a guy from a country where they've actually got three or four elite level right backs. Semedo's at Benfica. And Benfica is something that in the big inside view we're going to have to come back to, because their ability to spot, sign, develop, win and sell begins to rank them with Porto and Sevilla as one of the most extraordinary outfits anywhere in Europe. Anyway, Semedo is here, paraded at the Camp Nou yesterday. Hard running, not unlike Walker. Very athletic, very competitive. He's been saying all the right things about, like, I'll, you know, in no causes lost for me. I play for the jersey. Okay, fine. You look at him, he's young, very aggressive, capable on the ball. Looks like he'll free Sergio Roberto, who's an outstanding footballer, but not a 200-meter runner like Semedo is. And it will keep Alex Vidal as the auxiliary right back. And there begins to look like a little bit of equilibrium, a little bit of balance between the right side of defence and the midfield for Football Club Barcelona. So without solving all the problems, because the Verratti thing, they trod on Paris Saint-Germain's toes, or at least the owners. The owners from Qatar have a different sense of how a deal can and can't be done. Club honour and, you know, underlying that word, honour, how things are done, is a very different idea from the sort of ugly Machiavellian pitched battle that you can have between ordinary European clubs, where they call each other every name under the book, but they both know that the bottom line is money and that a deal will be done. Well, with Paris Saint-Germain, the fact that Verratti's agent came out and kind of said Verratti's a prisoner of the owners, that didn't help anything. And at the moment, Paris Saint-Germain are saying, not only is he not for sale, we won't even talk about it. The odds very firmly favour the fact that Verratti stays at Paris Saint-Germain, but because Barcelona are so intent on getting him, that deal shouldn't be consigned as impossible until late in August.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, Martin and I at Backpage, one of the things that we most enjoy about regularly conversing with you that the listeners up until this point have not been able to share in is catching up with the reality of your working week. We want to know when the season starts going, what's been going down in the mix zones, at the matches that you go to, you know, what's your take on the games that you're seeing, who you've been interviewing for the various broadcast and print outlets for whom you work. But let's just run through where you've been and who you've been speaking to, what's been going on.
Yeah, it's been on the return from New York, which is one hell of a trip. I mean, I know it's, people don't really know about New York. It's an underpublicized city with not much history or culture. But I could recommend people to go there. The most exceptional holiday of my life. But on my return there, my first point of drop-off would be Krakow in Poland, where the under-21 final took place, Spain-Germany. Germany won it. And, you know, I would commend Kunz's team, because I didn't like it's metaphorically, it's everything that takes me from maybe the Rijkaard team through Guardiola to now, and what I've liked about Spanish football and La Roja under Del Bosque, and that Spain side, coached by Celades, was full of brilliant players who'd lit up the tournament and played front foot. Germany can play, but Kunz picked a team to run and to hunt and to press and to asphyxiate, and it paid off, so kudos to him. But what we didn't see is a great game of football. What we didn't understand clearly is whether Saúl, tired at the end of a gigantic campaign, or Ceballos, who is an extraordinary footballer with a pretty ugly character and who's just joined Real Madrid and will thrill the fans there if given the chance. But others, you know, around the team, Delafield didn't shine, I didn't think, and Williams didn't come on soon enough. Overall, Bain failed the audition to pass their way or dribble their way through the pressure. But Kunz's team produced something absolutely exceptional. It's worth following those who were an under-21 B-side, because the ones who were eight of the players who would have formed Kunz's under-21 side in that European Championships in Poland were actually in the Confeds Cup and winning it, meaning that a lot of the senior German players who are going to defend the World Cup in Russia next year are undoubtedly going to make it there and defend it. Took a rest, which is brilliant, brilliant work by Jogi Löw. But the little name I'm going to throw at people for them to follow that didn't come out of the tournament as a sort of superhero but should have done is Julian Polarsbeck, the German goalkeeper who won the tournament, who had exceptional moments, not just saves, but saves at particular times, the type of saves he produced, the attitude he showed during the quieter times in games, the concentration, his ability to begin the play. When you see a footballer, they just emanate something special, something different. I remember the first time I saw Neuer winning a penalty shootout for Schalke, and it wasn't just the saves. Leadership and power and will to win did kind of emanate from it. So I'm saying, want to watch Julian Polarsbeck. I don't know what you want to go to next. You participated in one of them. We've got, I think we can say, can't we, for the big interview that it's coming up, Jamie Murray. But Jamie is one of that rare breed of beautiful men who phone up and say, I'd like to be on the big interview, please. Wouldn't life be easier, Neil, if we make that the way forward? So Jamie said that we got in touch and said, listen, I fly the world to carry out my professional responsibilities in the ATP Tour. And that means non-stop hours in hotels and aeroplanes. And lo and behold, the big interview was helping him get to his number one status in the world. Wimbledon winner before, US Open, Australian winner before. Without blowing the content of the podcast, Jamie is funny and he's wide-ranging the topics that he's good on. Bright, bright man, strong views, and a really worthwhile visit down to see him in London just before Wimbledon. And let's hope by the time this goes out, he's Wimbledon winner for the second time.
Krakow done, New York done, London done.
Sounds good when you say it like that, doesn't it?
I think we're heading north now.
Well, we are going north, although I'll reference back to Jamie Murray, Neil, because one of the things we talked about during Wimbledon is him taking the piss out of me. Because in Aberdeen recently, I did do a Sky Sports Live thing when I was helping launch the Dennis Law Cruyff Court. Johan Cruyff, in the last stages of his life, I'm talking about the latter 15 years of his life, decided that to give back to football, he wanted kids around the world to be able to learn their creativity, their tricks, their resilience in a way that he did on the Amsterdam streets. And we all know that street football values are things we'd like to see in professional soccer right now, but the street football environment has almost disappeared. And therefore, Cruyff courts are 24-hour open, free, metal cages with goals at either end and top grade AstroTurf pitch, floodlights that local kids, for free, it's not bookable, can come and press a button and the floodlights go on. So they want to play at 10 at night in the middle of winter, they blooming well can, and for free. I think it's an exceptional project, and my friends at Street Sport, and this is worth a mention too, because Street Sport runs on its own initiative, the volunteers, they pack up a football court in the back of their van and they can just unroll this football court with walls and goals and a surface on any old concrete surface anywhere in the city in Aberdeen, something that they've done well over 50,000 times on a voluntary basis. And Street Sport is an organisation that is dedicated to going to areas of decline or urban problems in the city and going to where the cops and the fire service say this is a hotspot, meaning that there's a problem. Maybe that cars are being vandalized. Maybe that fires are being set by kids. They roll out street sport and the problem goes away. I was speaking to a cop who was there and he said, listen, if we have a problem area, we phone up street sport. And kind of like Ghostbusters, they roll out, take the back of the van open, lay down their pitch, and kids come and play, and the problems disappear. It's extraordinary. So we go, and Dennis Law is to be there to launch the court. The Johan Cruyff people, who I know well from Amsterdam, are going to be there. I asked to go and help speak a little bit at the event. And in the afternoon, Dennis is being awarded an honorary doctorate of law. He would be, given he's the lawman, from Robert Gordon University at His Majesty's Theatre. And I have to stand up in the ceremony and propose Dennis for it. And that would rank as one of the happiest, proudest moments of my adult life, I have to say. But going back to where Jamie was taking the mickey at me, at the Johan Cruyff Court launch, of course, I'd said to Sky Sports News, do you want to come? You have an interview with Dennis. I'll talk about Spanish transfers if you want. And I did open the package with Rob Wotton, and Rob said, you know, in the studio in London, and up to Aberdeen, to his native city, here's Graham Hunter to tell us about the Johan Cruyff Tennis Law Court. And my answer was, well, welcome to Aberdeen on the day that the club goes back into European football. And the city is the home of the club with the only club in Scotland with two European trophies and those two beautiful UEFA stars. And I thought, well, OK, I've rammed that in, which I do quite often in a fairly subtle way. And some people will catch it. And Jamie texted me to say that he got it immediately and cracked up and was laughing and falling off his chair as he watched it on Sky Sports News. And hello, Glasgow. Hello, Edinburgh. We got the Cruyff Court because of Dennis Law, because he won the Ballon d'Or. And the Cruyff people said, Ballon d'Or winner, Aberdeen, that'll do for our first Cruyff Court. This was one of those occasions where I got that vibe where I was like, I can't believe what the hell is a guy like me doing in the middle of all this in my city with the Cruyff people here, with the street sport people, and brimming with admiration for them. And Dennis Law is here, and I get to propose him for an honorary degree. And as 24-hour periods go, apart from the result at Pitodri that night, that was five-star, that was blooming special.
Okay, I said I liked it when we find out what you've been up to for your work, but almost as entertaining, if not more so, sometimes is what you're getting up to outside of work. What we wanted to do when we started talking about ideas for this show was to get you to give us, at the end, just a few tips, what you're doing, what you've been up to.
Well, at this stage, I've been so busy that my nightlife has been a little bit more curtailed than you're used to. But I want to say, because this is a quickfire round, correct, I'm most excited about Paul Weller coming to Barcelona this September. Tickets bought, going to be there, standing arena, not like the last time he came to Barcelona where there was deck chairs laid out in a beautiful public garden and I was the only one dancing, although Paul flicked me his plectrum and I've still got that in my chain around my neck. But he's coming to Barcelona in September and I'm very excited. Our friends at Copper Dog, looks like the chance to talk football with Kasabian is coming off. Looking forward to doing that. Know their music. Don't know their football skills so well, but saw Serge, I think, scoring an unbelievable goal in a sort of charity celebrity match. So it looks like that could be fun and interesting. I want to say a little loving thanks to our mutual friend, Kevin Bridges, who tipped to me first ahead of anybody, exclusively live on the phone, Gary Mackay, Stevens to Pitodri. Kevin, you were right. I've got to fling in there the idea that the germ of an idea, which was born with Backpage Press, you and Martin Gregg, came to me and said, why don't you write a book about Barcelona? With much persuasion, I wrote it. It's been very popular. And then recently, a great friend of mine, Duncan McMath from Zoom Sport, a brilliant Zoom Sport video film production company in Barcelona, said, why don't we make the book into a film again? It was The Sighted Leading the Blind. I took a little bit of persuading. Which is something you'll remember and recognise from the Italian restaurant where you made me an offer I couldn't refuse. Although the tape's gone under the cistern in the toilet next to Central Station was a bit too much in retrospect. But the film is made. We're proud of it. We've had the participation of Xavi and Iniesta and Piqué and Puyol. And who's that other? Messi, who said, yeah, I want to be in this, even though I wasn't in the Leo Messi film. So we've finished it and we're in the process of getting an offer from Universal Studios. They've seen it a couple of times. And we'd imagine that over the next couple of weeks, we'll understand what it is they want to offer us to be our distributors around the world. And we've had other offers from television stations around the world to show it. So that is a new and exciting project. I'm listening to the new Arcade Fire single. It's very, very good. Kudos to you for your traipsing around the country to record blogs or podcasts with Charlie McGarry, because I'm reading The Ghost of Helen Addison so far. So very good. And if anybody else is looking for summer reading, what am I going to say except for read the Peter Bragg detective novels by Jack Lynch. They're very, very good.
Okay, I'm just going to look back to the film because not everybody who listens to the podcast, and hopefully will be listening to this one, although it's something a bit different to the big interview, will be aware of the chain of events and what's coming up. So this is the film version, basically the film documentary adaptation of Graham's book, Barca, The Making of the Greatest Team in the World.
It took the spine, you know, the spine of the breaking down of the chapter starting at Wembley, going through the background of why Barcelona play this way, introducing the themes about Cruyff development, the highs and lows of Abidal's illness, and the influence of men like Xavi or Puyol on the squad, the rearrival of Pep at his club, the players who admit now, retrospectively, the thought when he explained to them what he wanted to do, that he was crazy, literally crazy. And the period of time in which Pep won his trophies with, you know, direct interviews, original exclusive interviews that are updated and new from the book, because some of these, the majority of these players were interviewed for the book, but this is now them being interviewed with a far greater degree of retrospect and hindsight, and saying things that they haven't said before in some instances. So the film won't just be recognisable because it's based on the book and has some of the same structure as the book and some of the same participants, or even the fact that it's called Take the Ball, Pass the Ball, The Making of the Greatest Team in the World. I think there's a similarity in that what it tries to do is explain in depth, A, about that era, B, about the personalities of the players that people sort of fell, in our football sense, romantically in love with. And finally, it also tries to explain a bit about the philosophy of the club in terms of what the ball is for and how to develop footballers. But it casts ahead too. It finishes on an upbeat, forward-looking note. So the film is called Take the Ball, Pass the Ball, and we'd very much like to believe that from the late autumn onwards, you'll be able to see it maybe in cinema and then on download and maybe on some terrestrial satellite television too. So it's been a fun, testing, long project, but it's at that stage now where it's on the goal line.
Great. I've been lucky enough to see an advanced version of it, and if Graham's sell there or his description hasn't been enough, if you enjoyed watching the football of Pep Guardiola's Barcelona, if by chance you've read Graham's book on the same era and enjoyed it, then you're going to love this film. If you love football, you are going to love this film. And when Graham says that he got to the vast, vast majority of participants in that era for new interviews, some of the stuff these guys say is just amazing. Look out, especially when the time comes for Dani Alves' contribution. That's all I'm going to say at this point. We will keep you bang up to date with what's happening with that movie on this podcast, The Big Inside View. This has been, I guess we can call it, a pilot.
Well, you mentioned pilots, so all I can really do is say, ho, 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 it's magic, you know. Loved The Big Inside View. Nice way to start.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.